TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents the Youth Sports Fan Forum with your host, the coach, John Cone. This is the show that covers all topics relating to the wonderful world of sports our kids play. Here's your host for the Youth Sports Fan Forum, the coach, John Cone.
I never met that guy who does the introductions, Jordan, but I'm feeling closer to him all the time. He definitely has, whoever that guy is, first team radio voice.
He does. He has a great radio voice. I would pay to have that kind of a voice.
No question about it. We're on the radio. We don't have those voices. We'll do the best we can. It is the Youth Sports Fan Forum, a brand new show here on the TalkZone.com. We're giving it a shot, Jordan. We're thinking outside the box. We're trying something new and dedicating one show, 1 hour per week to the games that our kids play.
Yep.
And the games that we sometimes too often, but certainly very often, get involved in. Now, you don't have any kids yourself, but believe me, when you do, can you predict, by the way, with your personality, probably hard to, but what type of parent you will be when your kids enter into the sporting world? Do you think you're going to be one of these type A maniacs or a much more reasoned aristocrat?
I would not be a type A maniac. I mean, for me, it would be if I notice that my kids really have a passion for playing sports, mm-hmm. and they really want to be legitimate athletes, I would help them realize whatever that dream is. You know, mm-hmm. if I realize that my son or daughter is really talented in a particular sport, I would say, is this something that you want to pursue more seriously? Because if mm-hmm. it is, then I'll pay for you to take mm-hmm. lessons or whatever you want.
Spoken and, very reasoned, yeah. very logically, and very very well done. It's a lot easier to say that, and then when you actually have the kids.
Yeah, but you know what, though? For me, like, I haven't obviously experienced this yet because I'm not a parent, but mm-hmm. I just would never see myself as one of those crazy, okay. you know, soccer mom people that's freaking mm-hmm. out and screaming at parents and, you know, getting angry and, mm-hmm. and treating my kids' games like the World Series. I don't think I would be that way.
Right off the bat, a cheap shot at the soccer moms out there.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
Below the belt?
The soccer moms get a bad rap, but it's not because it's mm-hmm. made up. I mean, a lot of the times these parents take it a little bit too seriously. And listen, I'm all for the passion of youth sports. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here. We love youth sports. This is the fan forum for it. But we have to remember that these are kids playing kids' games, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I don't see myself ever being one of those screaming dads. I don't know if I'd want to be the coach mm-hmm. of a team. I think I'd leave that responsibility up to somebody else.
Nah, you'll be a coach.
But I would definitely be somebody who would support my kid if they want to do it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to do it, I mean, I don't, you know, one of my buddies always tells me that when he has kids, he's going to morph them into the next Tiger Woods. He's going to mm-hmm. get a golf club in his hand when he's oh, 1 year old, and he's going to,
he's
you know,
saying this kiddingly or for real?
No, he's serious.
Oh, boy.
He's a golfer himself.
Make sure that fine gentleman turns into the, tell him to tune in every Thursday, 11 till 12 o'clock Central Time. He might want to listen to our show. We'll try to give a slightly different perspective.
No, yeah, he said multiple times that whenever he has a kid, he's mm-hmm. going to make that kid into the best golfer he can possibly make him into. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, let's relax a little bit. Mm-hmm. If he wants to be a golfer, fine. Don't force feed the golf clubs down his throat. Or in the case mm-hmm. of Elin Nordgren, don't slam a golf club through your husband's window mm-hmm. or anything like that. But I just think that, you know, I always get sad when I see stories about parents who over-push their kids, because the great thing about youth sports is that the kids have such a passion for doing it. They love doing it. They want to do it. And when it becomes the parents' game and not the kids' game, you're losing focus on what it's about. It's about the kids. It's not about the parents. Mm-hmm. And so what I love most about youth sports is when it's the kids that get to enjoy it and the parents can help the kids but not mm-hmm. become the game.
Which is the case, by the way, 93.8% of the time. Of course,
is that an official statistic?
That's the best accurate analysis. We have, you know, people that work for the Youth Sports Fan Forum here. Our statisticians have roughly estimated at 93.8, which is not bad. So when we talk about the overzealous parents, we're really talking about the exception. most of the parents, people watching the kids' games are pretty good, but there are those of us that get a little bit carried away, and that's some of the items that we'll talk about on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Our phone number here, if you want to join us, any questions, comments, advice that we
stories.
Can offer, stories, absolutely, of the funny, sad, dramatic variety. We'd love to hear that. 888-463-6748. Not high school sports so much. We are strictly trying to deal with, in this 1 hour each and every week, you know, the kindergarten, even down to preschool now. Kids are starting at age 3, 4, 5, up to maybe eighth grade. Club teams, travel teams, house league, individual sports, any of the items involved there that we are so passionate about, and your kids are too, that's what we want to talk about. We do have an email. It's ysfanforum@AOL.com, a website,
and a website
too.
Yeah.
ysfanforum.com. You can join us there, and we do appreciate. We don't have a fan page up yet, but that hopefully
that's in the works.
Is coming in the works. But there's a lot of items to discuss. You know, you brought up the soccer moms. I still remember going to a AYSO
in their minivans. They always have to have minivans too.
Absolutely.
Or SUVs.
Minivan very much a part of the youth sport experience.
Yes, and very much a part of the soccer mom.
Yes. My wife, by the way, is absolutely, I think it's her fourth or fifth year, and she has clearly stated to me that this is her final minivan she will ever be driving.
Yeah, my mom went through that point,
too. She is hinting Jaguar at next car.
See, Jaguar is a big move.
It's a big move for the minivan to the Jaguar. I'm trying to convince her a couple of steps in the way, but she is about done and forgiven with the minivan.
Yeah, my mom used to have the Dodge Caravan.
Yes.
And that was driving us baseball players all over the place.
Uh-huh.
The Dodge Caravan was a big part
yep.
of the youth sport experience.
Mm-hmm.
With the little button on the door to slide it open.
Uh-huh.
You know, the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
That was us.
Seats five, but sometimes you pack like eight people in there.
Yeah. And you
hope
get
your
like
cop
15.
Doesn't stop you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to get the whole baseball team in that
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, that was... Everybody seems to have one of those
little
things.
Carpool situation. Carpool is very much a part of the youth sport experience. But I do remember a soccer training session I went to. And it was AYSO, which is the biggest soccer organization. And one of the first things the director said, the guy, the clinician, I guess I should say, one of the first things he said is, don't be afraid to root for the other team. And
okay.
I had to let that soak in. And I thought that was such a great concept. Don't be afraid. He's telling this to the parents. Not high-level travel. Now, this is AYSO House League. Kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade. Don't be afraid to root for the other team. If you let that sink in a little bit, it really does put into perspective what youth sports is all about. He's obviously not talking about cheering against your team.
Cheering against your kids.
Huh? Yeah, cheering against your kids. Okay, that's why you got to let it sink in. You got to let it... squeeze through the initial layer of defensive epidermis that you might have with that and understand the concept that the team on the other side, the team wearing the red jerseys and your kid's team is the green jersey, they're not the enemy. They're not the obstacles. They're not to be looked at in a negative vent. They're your fellow neighbors too. I mean, your son could just as easily, or daughter, be on the other team and you'd be rooting for them. Okay. And if it gets even worse if you go play another community. Because then all of a sudden there's that tension. You all of a sudden are playing for your, you know, town A, and you're going to play town B. There's this tension. And I've given a few coaching clinics myself, and I've always said one of the best things that a coach can do is before the game, you go over and introduce yourself to the other coach, and you have a little small talk. That's just, especially when you're playing community versus community, that I won't say totally, but significantly diffuses the tension.
Disarms them.
Oh, yeah. Of the community A versus community B. Yeah, you talk it over, you know, you get in a friendly bay. And even the players pick up on that.
Right. I mean, it's not like it's a huge rivalry either. It's not like from the frozen tundra of Jewett Park and Deerfield, it's the Deerfield youth baseball team against the Highland Park youth baseball team. I mean, come on. You know, it's just, you know, it's kids mm-hmm. playing against each other.
But sometimes travel team coaches and parents, you can get that mentality. Your kid has made the travel team. And now,
right.
instead of playing house league, you're going to play other communities. You can build up the importance of that when, in fact...
I remember that was a big deal when yeah. I was a kid, because when I was 9 years old, I first tried out for the travel baseball team. And I didn't realize this was going to completely change mm-hmm. my childhood. But it did. I made the travel team.
And right off the bat, we can throw the question out, 888-463-6748. Should there be travel teams at the age of nine?
There should. I think there
should.
Because
one could argue.
because, well, I'll get to that in a second. But what I was going to say was that, you know, when I made the team as a 9-year-old, I mean, only 12 kids made the team. It's, you know, it's an exclusive club, you know, because there's only 12 kids that are going to be lucky enough to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my best friends, who was widely regarded as one of the better players in our league, did not make it. And mm-hmm. I did. And I wasn't yet on that level where I was considered one of the best, but I happened to be the guy they chose and not him.
Not sure at age 9 how widely regarded you could be.
No, no,
okay.
No, but I mean, you know, within a house league that they move the kids back when you come up to bat, and you know what I mean? There's certain things that, like, the coaches know. You know what I mean? The coaches seem to know who the best players are. And so I made the team, he didn't, and he was really upset about it. And it was like, when you're 9 years old, that can sometimes be like a rift in a friendship. And I was like, listen, I didn't make the team. I didn't choose the team, you know, but next year you'll make it. And the next year, there was two teams. We had an A team and a B team. And, you know, I made the A team, and he ended up making the A team also. So, and then from then on, he was always on the team. But I remember friends of mine who made the B team felt inferior to the A team. And so it's just that there's always these like little competitions. Mm-hmm. But to me, travel teams are a good thing. And I know that there's competition, and I know the kids can get upset if they don't make it and so on and so forth. But to me, the community aspect that I had within my travel team, the friendships that I made within my travel team, I mean, those were some of the best memories I had as a child. So I loved playing as a travel baseball player. I loved it. I mean, it was my life as a child, and mm-hmm. I would never want to disband an idea like that, because when you started at the age of 9, it allows you to build those friendships up towards high school and even beyond. And that's why, like I had mentioned to you last week on this show, my high school baseball experience was so special for me because I got to play with those kids that I had been playing with since I was 9. Mm-hmm. And so that made it such a great experience all the way until I was 18. I mean, that was 9 years of playing with the same people, and it was really a nice thing. And mm-hmm. I would never say that kids shouldn't have that experience.
Interesting term you used. And again, Youth Sports Fan Forum, you got thoughts here? You want to check in? We'd love to hear from you. Our phone number, brand new show here. We're trying to get it off the ground, the Youth Sports Fan Forum, 888-463-6748. Agree, disagree, want to add to the discussion? We are right here for you. You used the term, Jordan Burfield, the exclusive club. That I wrote that down as soon as you said that, and that's one of my issues. And I'm not saying I'm against travel teams at that age, although 8 and 9 is pretty young, but think about that.
Yeah.
The exclusive club at the age of 9.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I don't think the kids think of it that way necessarily.
No?
I think that's more, I think some kids do, but I think that the parents think about that more. You know what I mean? I think that the kids are hurt by that a little bit if they don't make it. I agree. I think that they're hurt by that if they don't make it.
That's a rough thing at age 8, 9, or 10 not to get cut from the team.
I agree. That is tough. But I think that it is. I think the parents are more serious about that than the kids in a lot of senses. And B, I think it's a life lesson. I mean, you're not always going to make the team. You're not always going to get what you want. And I'm not saying that it's a good thing or that it's positive, but you know, it's important for kids to learn sometimes that, you know, mm-hmm. what, maybe, you know, maybe I'm not good enough for this team, but I'm good enough for somebody else's team. Or I'm, you know, not always am I just going to be able to get things. Some things in life I'm going to have to work a little harder at. I don't think mm-hmm. that there's anything wrong in that lesson. I mean, is it sad when a kid doesn't make a team when they're 9 or 10 years old? Yeah, of course it is. I mean, when I got cut from my junior high basketball team, and that was, you know, I was a little sad about that. Actually, mm-hmm. the truth is, when they were about to come in and make the cuts, I'll never forget this. My junior high basketball team, the coach walked in to the locker room, and we're all sitting in there. And he goes, "Gentlemen, it's time for us to decide who's on the team. We appreciate everybody for coming to try out, but I just want you to remember, if you didn't end up on that list of players that made the team, Michael Jordan got cut mm-hmm. from his high school basketball team." And I started laughing mm-hmm. because I thought, yeah, but Michael Jordan got cut from varsity as a I mean, he didn't really.
Still, I think the coaches, I think the intent of his message was very, very good.
But I started laughing, uh-huh. which I don't think he was so happy that I did. Yeah, because
you probably were on the team once you started laughing.
No, but
you probably crossed you off.
Well, right. I didn't make the team.
Yeah.
So when I didn't make the team, I wasn't even that upset. I mean, I was sad. You know, I wanted to be on the team because when you're in junior high, it's sort of a status thing more than it is anything else. You know, I'm on the basketball team. But, you know, I wasn't that upset, but I was a little disappointed. But there were kids who were crying and really upset. And listen, I get that. I know that it's a tough experience. But I think that travel teams are ultimately the good of a travel team way outweighs the bad. And that's why I would always say that, you know, 7 years old, 6 years old, 8 years old, that's maybe too young. But once you get to 9, 10, 11, 12, once you're getting through elementary school, I think the kids are old enough to handle it.
You got other sports. Hockey is one I can think of that start travel teams, I think, even at an earlier age. You know, at age even like, you know, 6 or 7,
well, that's,
they start. Boy, that's getting awfully extreme. Tough, tough call. But I do love that concept that they threw out there. Don't be afraid to root for the other team. If the other team makes a nice play, kid makes a nice play, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that good play. Again, the other team is not the enemy. They are fellow competitors. And I think that's one of the good things that AAU and club ball have done now is that you've got kids from different communities getting to know each other.
Yeah.
So now when they play each other in a school league game, there's not that adversarial relationship.
No. Yeah. I mean,
you know, they know a couple of guys from the other school from their AAU team, and it becomes a little bit more friendly.
Yeah. I mean, I never played AAU or Legion. But some of my friends who did had friends on the other teams all the time growing up. And that was a nice thing. You know, it was, I met a lot of kids from other schools and from other teams and that, many of them became my friends. I mean, I think that the community aspect of these things is great. And so the more you can do, the better off you might ultimately be.
All right. Youth Sports Fan Forum. We're going to take a quick break. Before that, David Olson, by the way, our producer, doing a tremendous job back in the day, the pride and joy of, Lockport youth baseball, youth football. And I believe he tried entering the girls' gymnastics program, but was rather rudely turned away.
You know, Castor Semenya probably tried out for a boys' team at some point. Didn't make it.
Well, so, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. David, can we sneak in a call before the break? He's shaking his hand. He's giving us a thumbs up. At least I hope that's his thumb. Out to the phone lines we go. Checking in line number 19. It's caller Jack checking in from the fine city of Chicago. Jack, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are you this morning?
Remember, by the way, this show is on the internet. Your voice right now being heard not just in the U.S., but 7 different continents, caller Jack. Worldwide internet sports radio.
I like to think, John, that this show is intergalactic. More than just worldly or international, but I like to think of it as intergalactic, where we might be able to hear this show anywhere, perhaps in the universe.
The Youth Sports Fan Forum is big on the moon.
I'm working on South America and the Mideast right now. I hadn't thought of the Galactica. Can we first delve into South America and the Mideast first, and then we might go galactic?
I mean, I've looked at the moon ratings, and our moon ratings are very good.
Stop it. All right, caller Jack, what do you got on your mind, my friend?
Well, I'm just enjoying listening to your conversation.
Glad somebody is.
John, I think that there's probably nobody in this intergalactic worldwide web that we're discussing that really has had more experience or is more knowledgeable about youth sports, which is probably why you have it as part of your show, because of your experience not only as a parent but as a coach. So I think that your credibility is well known. But I liked your comment about rooting for the other team, and you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. Although I find myself when I'm as a background, I have a young son who is in the early stages of sports where it hasn't gotten overly competitive yet, and I had an interesting comment from a fellow parent who has gone through it for several years, and he said, you know, enjoy this time because it's this time when the kids really are having more fun with it, because after a while it becomes so competitive and so important and so intense that a lot of the joy is lost in the whole thing of youth sports, and you don't have the, you know, the love of it. It's more or less all about the competition, and so I'm really enjoying the you know, the early stages of youth sports, and I find myself not necessarily, when my son is playing another team, I don't necessarily root for the other team, but I do root for, you know, the kids on the team.
You root for a nice performance from a kid,
good,
you know.
Play, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you root for, because, you know, generally you know most of the other kids, and, you know, either from schools or other sports programs, and you want them to do well, and you know, you root for them to, you know, to get a hit or make a good play, not necessarily at the expense of, you know, of your kid or your kids on your team, you know, failing, but you just want to see kids in general succeed. And I certainly agree with that sentiment. But you John phrased it as rooting for the other team. You know, I find myself not initially rooting for the team, but rooting for the kid.
Well, again, I didn't phrase it. I'm repeating the phrase from some clinician I heard at a particular sports conference, and I thought, the theory behind it. Obviously, you don't literally sit there and start rooting for the other team, but I guess what he means is don't be afraid to appreciate a good play by the other team. They're not the enemy. They're fellow competitors.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And they're fellow neighbors, fellow, classmates.
Mm-hmm.
And fellow friends. So you want the kids to root well. But I, mm-hmm. I've enjoyed my parental experience in the youth sports because it really hasn't gotten overly competitive just yet. And I don't know how far my son will go in the competitive world, but he enjoys it. That's what's fun for me.
That's the important thing.
He enjoys it.
Nah, that's not the important thing.
No,
it's development.
Yeah.
It's moving up the next ladder. You got like two batting cages in your backyard, caller Jack. Have you put in the indoor half court basketball hoop adjacent to the kitchen just yet?
All I can say is my role model is Todd Marinovich's dad. That's my role model.
Oh, goodness. Jordan Fernand, of our new listeners who might not be familiar. Hey, Chicago Jack, we appreciate the call. Great sentiment. And in the future, with comments like that, I might hire you as my marketing agent if I ever go big time.
Call my representatives and we'll talk.
Have your people talk to my people and we'll do lunch.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jack.
Okay.
Actually, we won't do lunch. We'll just have our people do lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love caller Jack.
Yeah, he's a good. That was a great call.
I don't know who he is, but he propped me up pretty good. What were we talking about?
We were talking about
caller Jack. I just brought up a point we were going to piggyback on.
Well, no, I was saying how that whether they enjoy it is the most important. Oh, you were talking about this Todd Marinovich or whatever.
Oh yeah. For those that might be new into the youth sports genre, a lot of parents might maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 year old kids might have missed the Todd. Mr. Marinovich is probably the number one icon of the overzealous parent. Would that be fair?
I mean, I don't know him. I've heard of him.
Do you know the story?
I've not heard the story. Oh. I've heard of him, but I don't know where I've heard of him.
You've heard of Todd Marinovich, who was the quarterback at USC and then for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Marinovich with Mrs. Marinovich in tow. They apparently had said even before, after conception, but before birth, that they were going to do everything possible to make their kid almost like a, it sounds sick, but it almost like a scientific experiment, to make their son as good of an athlete as possible. And they even consulted with scientists, physicians et al., even during the fetal stage. Things that they could do, things that the wife, the mom could drink and or eat that could help the development of the kid. That's how detailed they got. From birth, in the crib, the little football, the little ball for high hand coordination. The kid nutritionally never in his life was able to eat junk food or soft drinks. So was brought up with every possible edge literally from birth, from conception. It was almost a little bit of a sickness. Now the kid did become a great high school star and he became the quarterback at USC. So that's not too bad. But what happened was once he left home in that rather smothering environment of his parents, he got into drugs, got into alcoholism. He finally felt his freedom and never became the great, great professional star and had all kinds of personal health problems. So
that's
it worked
bad
in the beginning. It did not work once he got his freedom.
Well, a similar situation, not in the bad sense, I guess, yet, but Jack Cust of the Oakland A's.
Uh-huh.
His father apparently used to lock him in a batting cage that he built for him in New Jersey and had him hit all day and all night, just constantly hitting, mm-hmm. so that he could be a good player. And his dad was one of those psychotic Little League fathers who was getting kicked out of games for, arguing calls and being a lunatic. And, whenever his son would strike out looking, he would be, running up to the fence to scream at the umpire and all this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack is in the major leagues. He is playing for the Oakland Athletics. He is, a home run hitting type player.
More importantly, what is his personality / social instinct, social abilities like?
That I don't know. I've never met Jack. But all I can say is that, he's been in the major leagues.
You don't know Jack?
I don't know Jack about anything. But I'll tell you this, that I do know that Jack has been in the majors for a little while, and it doesn't seem – there's never been a story that's come out that he's been, like, a big problem. So, mm-hmm. And I don't know.
All right. Youth Sports Fan Forum, lots of issues to discuss. Want to do that with you. Caller Jack drops off, leaves eight other lines open, 888-463-6748. You can email us at ysfanforum.com. When we come back, I want to throw this out to our listeners and you, JB. The most positive recent development in youth sports and the most negative recent development in youth sports. I have a nomination for each, and David Olson later in the show. Don't let me forget now, because I hate putting out a tease and not fulfilling it. I will tell all of our coaches out there the greatest motivational speech and or tool you can give a team right before a game. And it's not what you think. It's not something typical, but from my experience, absolutely the greatest motivation for your team winning a game. I'll throw that out a little bit later in the show.
Can I guess what it is right now?
Quickly.
A good Twinkie.
It is not a Hostess Twinkie. It's nothing edible.
Not edible?
Shocking, I know. All right, we'll take a quick break. David Olson, our producer, Youth Sports Fan Forum. Don't go anywhere. We're only here for a short time. Back in a minute.
The phone lines are open on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. 888-GO-FOR-IT. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone, on TalkZone.com.
And we are back, 1 hour program each and every Thursday from 11 till 12 Central Time. JB out on the West Coast, so people are waking up to us. Possibly a little breakfast show with Jordan Burnfield. I hope you're proud. And out east, you've become a lunchtime experience.
You have. And so you're either eating your eggs and cereal, or you're eating your little sandwich for lunch right now, or whatever you eat for lunch.
Well, whatever you're eating, whatever you're doing, we do thank you for joining us. It's a brand new venture here. Our fifth show, we're giving it a shot on the TalkZone.com. Of course, the two of us do a show prior to this every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock called Two Guys in a Mic. It's your usual sports talk genre. This is something of a different venture.
It is, except that there still are two guys, and there still are two mics. See, the thing is, we're two guys and a mic in the first hour, but we do have multiple mics.
Yes.
There is more than one mic.
Yep. Don't brag.
Yeah. I mean, we are fortunate enough not to have to sit next to each other so that we can talk into the same mic.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of weird because we have about 3.5 minutes between the two shows.
Yeah.
And the two guys at a mic show, it's a different personality.
Yeah.
Then we have to present a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. We have to go through a little bit of a makeup transformation during those 3.5 minutes to present the professionalism, or at least the threat of, here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum.
We had to buy a morphing chamber that could morph you within 3 minutes, because the old morphing chamber was a 10-minute morph, and that's just too long. I mean, I went to the manufacturer. I said, I need something that can morph me in 3 minutes. And so they made sure that I could be, that
not
could
easy.
Be done.
Not easy. That could be dangerous to your health, making a transition like that. We said before the break that I wanted to throw out to our listeners a recent development that you think maybe is the best thing in youth sports, something new. And I've got a nomination for this, and then maybe something of a recent vintage that is the most negative. And sadly, I've got a nomination for that, too. But if you'd like to contribute to that, YSFanForum, AOL.com, or give us a call. We're user-friendly. We're right here for you, 888-463-6748. Join the ship of the maiden voyage here of the Youth Sports Fan Forum. What do you want first, the bad news or the good news? I'll give you my nominates.
You can go good news first.
Really?
Because you're the beacon of positivity. So you'd probably rather go with the positive.
But I was asking you. Okay, so you're looking
at
it from
my
standpoint.
You were hoping that I would say negative because you wanted to point out that I was the beacon of negativity. But on the Youth Sports Fan Forum, now that I've been in the 3 minutes of morphing chamber, I'm a positive youth sports guy.
I have no idea what you just said. Folks, for transcripts of Jordan Burnfield's last speech, you can write us here at the Youth Sports Fan Forum or dial up our special phone number, which is 1-800. What the hell did he just say?
I think that's too many letters.
Whatever.
I mean, unless you're calling, like, China.
Yeah, that was very well spoken. I have no idea what it meant, but it was beautifully spoken.
Well, what I was saying is, I think you were hoping that I would say negative because you think I'm negative.
It's an interesting, we're back to two guys and a mic again. It is an interesting psychology, by the way, as we get sidetracked here for people. When they are told, do you want to hear good news or bad news first? I think just that simple response of what they want to hear first, I think tells a lot. And I would imagine sociologists and psychologists can tell a lot about people. I always, personally, want to hear the bad news first.
So do I. Because you can deal, because you want to find out what the bad news is so that you can get the positive news afterwards.
Get it out of the way. If you know there's bad news following, it automatically puts a dark cloud on the good news.
Right. I mean, the good news, if somebody says I have bad news and worse news.
Well, no, that's, yeah.
Then I'd rather have the worse news first.
Yeah.
And then you can lay the bad on.
I'd like to talk to somebody out there, or the folks that when you're given bad news and good news, give me the good news first. There are people that choose that way, but you and me would both agree, get the bad news out of the way.
Right. But I mean, I wanted to change it up on you because I figured you knew that I was going to say negative first. So I threw a little curveball in on
you. All right, here we go.
But you can't throw it to your 13 or 14 in news.
So you want the good news first. No, you want the bad news first.
I want the good news first.
Good news first. All right, I would say the best. The most helpful recent development. Don't look now, by the way, but our producer, David Olson, is just going into a catatonic state. The best recent development for coaches, see if anybody out there agrees with me, is the advent of email.
Okay. And this is because communication is easier.
From a coaching standpoint, Jordan, I cannot tell you how much more effective, more efficient it's become with the advent of email. It takes a little bit of time in the beginning of the season to get all the kids and parents' emails down. Okay, but once you've got that, you're good as gold. Now, instead of phone call, you don't need, you know, remember the old telephone tree? You know, the team mom would call everybody up and you'd have your cute little telephone tree.
Yep.
Mrs. Jones would call these two people and you call these three.
Right.
And hey, in three or four phone calls, we can notify everybody. That was efficient back in the day, but emails. You know, you can pretty much assume right now that everybody checks emails at least a couple times a day.
Yeah, at least once a day, if not more.
It has made the coaching experience extremely more enjoyable, more time efficient, saves the phone call. I used to send letters out sometimes.
You sent letters?
Yeah, with schedule changes, things like that. Sometimes, you know, if you practice just once a week, that was the most efficient way. So I would nominate, and again, 888-463-6748, other coaches, parents out there, is there a recent development that has really been a benefit to youth sports? I'm going to nominate just the advent of email helping out the youth sports coach.
I mean, email helps everything, so why wouldn't it help youth sports? Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see that, definitely. I remember the old phone tree.
Yeah.
I used to type up the phone tree for our travel team. Mm-hmm. You know, get everybody's phone number. I think it was before cell phone. It was work phone and home phone. Or sometimes I guess the later years it was cell phone too, the youth sports. I mean, because that was sort of at the time when some people had cell phones, some people didn't have cell phones. It was still acceptable not to have a cell phone, unlike today where if you don't have a cell phone, people look at you like you have like a green head or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like something totally insane. But yeah, I mean, the email is, it's a great thing.
Best or worst recent development?
Okay.
I'm going to go into the area of financial and the program's costing a lot. And here's where it gets the worst. And I think we're a little bit more, it applies to House League, I think, in some cases. And I'd love to hear folks from different communities, different sports leagues, how they do that. But things cost so much. The finances become a factor. The money continues to build. The amount people have to pay for travel teams and club teams, it's almost off the chart. $600, $700, $800. Sometimes for the elite teams, as much as a couple thousand dollars. But here, and that's the common angle, here's the angle I'm going with. Because of that, they have to load up the rosters as far as numbers.
To keep the cost down per
person. Exactly. Or a lot of these organizations now are run by companies. Okay? You know, locally, I'll just throw out a few. I don't mean to criticize it. These are companies, and I'm sure there's examples all over the country. But here in the Chicago area, Full Package, A Joy of the Game, A High Five, an RMG, many, many companies that are sponsoring travel teams and club teams and programs. Well, if you're a company, your number one thing is you want to provide youth sports programming, but you do need to make money, right?
Yeah.
Well, 10 people on a travel team. You make so much money. If you put 12 or 13 on a travel team, you make a lot more money.
Yep.
And if you've coached, I'm using basketball as an example now, a team with 12 as opposed to a team with 10, I'll go back a step. See if you're with me here. The most important factor in all the youth sports is playing time.
Yeah.
It's all about playing time. 75% of the complaints that parents have, it's that their kid's not playing. If your kid's playing, bad, good, or indifferent, unless the coach is an absolute maniac, if your kid's playing, things are pretty good. It's all about PT, playing time.
Yeah, I mean, that's why your kids play. I mean, you don't pay to be in these leagues for your kids to sit on the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, that's and because the games are not inherently that important at the younger levels, they shouldn't have any excuse not to play every kid on the team. Mm-hmm. Every kid on the team should get into the game. They should get to, you know, play 5 minutes of a basketball game, if not more.
And they do.
A couple innings in the baseball game.
I think almost every organization's rules allow that.
Right, right. But I'm saying that, yeah, I mean, playing time is a big part of it. I remember when I was younger that, you know, the uniforms and the travel to, we had a tournament in St. Louis, a tournament in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I mean, I remember parents were, you know, annoyed by the fact that we were going to have to shell out some money for all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that the fact is that, you know, I'm not saying that the costs are that, you know, that you want it to be as high as they are, but it's sort of, to me, it is what it is. I mean, you join the league if you want your kids to have these opportunities. Mm-hmm. The money's got to come from somewhere, and you can't really expect the communities to be paying for all this stuff.
Well,
so within reason, parents, I think, kind of should know that if you're joining a league like this, that there is going to be a cost.
I think people understand that for the most part, and I think they're okay with it. I think with the gist of what I'm trying to get to is that because a lot of companies are running the travel teams now, and I'm kind of going beyond the 8 and 9 year olds, I'm more in the more competitive 12, 13, 14, 15 year old programs. They now have 12 people on a team. I'm using basketball as an example. For baseball, instead of 12 on a team, maybe 16. So, you know, that example could go into other sport. Let's just say basketball. And believe me, the playing time, when you've got 12 on a team as opposed to 10 on a team, it doesn't sound like much. Those listeners out there that have been there and done that know exactly what I'm talking about. It's huge. And so I think the biggest or negative development of recent years is that because of the finances, you got more people on a team and less playing time.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's just, I guess, how it is and how it will end up being, because costs for everything are going up and people don't want to pay them.
Let me ask you a question. Wrong or right? This has happened to me and I'm human and I've admitted to doing it and I'm not sure if it's wrong or right. You're on you mentioned St. Louis or Wisconsin. You're on an away tournament. And do you give more playing time to the kids whose parents have paid for the hotel and made the trip? Let's say Jimmy is out there and he normally doesn't play as much, but this time Jimmy's parents have made the trip. Bobby's parents are, I have at times, again, right hand or wrong, played the kid who I know his parents, it might be one of the few trips they've made. You know, I play him significantly more because the parents are there. It might not be the wrong thing, but
I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong. I mean, listen, if they've paid for all this stuff, if they have,
well, Johnny's parents have paid too. Johnny's parents just don't happen to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they paid for it and the parents have made the trip down there, they deserve to see their kids in the game.
Okay,
I mean, listen, if it's gotten to the point where it's such a grave disparity between what you normally might play the kid versus what you played him in this tournament because his parents are there, mm-hmm. and it's affecting the team in a significant manner, at that point, you might back off a little bit on that. But I don't have a problem with playing a kid more because his parents have made the trip down. I mean, listen, if a parent is making the investment in their time and their money and their effort to travel to this away tournament, then they should get to see their kid play in the game. I mean, listen, the one thing that I keep saying, but I don't think it'd be overstated, is they're not that important. These games are just not that important. When I was 13, I thought they were that important, but they're not. I mean, they're just not. And so let the kids play. Let whoever wants to play, play. Yep. Let whoever, you know, paid and has their parents down there play, because that's more important than any of this stuff. And I'm not trying to get all sappy, but the fact of the matter is, if you don't win the game, it's not life or death, okay?
I mean, sometimes it feels like it, but you're absolutely right. A week after the game, 2 weeks after the game, it really doesn't matter.
No.
Who won that particular game?
No, and you know what? It's not appropriate, in my opinion, almost, to treat games for 12-year-old, 11-year-old kids mm-hmm. like they're the World Series. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not. Because you're putting too much pressure on kids. And, you know, when I was 12, I put the pressure on myself to treat every game like it was the World Series, because for me, it was the World Series. You know, when I was in high school, every game was extremely important to me. But I think that the kids put enough pressure on themselves because they want to perform, because they want to do well, they want to succeed, that you don't need to have all this other stuff. You don't need the parents to be, mm-hmm. you know, manipulating things to make it more difficult. You don't need the coaches to be changing playing time so that only five kids are on the floor at the same time mm-hmm. so that your team wins. To me, that doesn't need to happen because the kids care enough most of the time that they want to do well just as much as the coaches, the parents.
Any interesting stories before we hit a break? Don't forget, when we come back from the next break, if your team is in tournaments, I'm going to give you the best motivational tool that I have ever found, and it's different. It's a little different than what you might think, but I'm guaranteeing success with this motivational tool. Jordan, real quick, and I know your parents hopefully aren't listening and your ex-coaches, but in your overnight trips, some of the hotel stays, some of the crazy, wildest things the kids have done, any swimming pool accidents we can talk about, any restaurants. What was the favorite little Steak and Shake, maybe a Perkins?
We never went to Perkins.
Perkins seems to find a way next to every hotel that youth sports teams stay at.
It does.
I'm a longtime Perkins fan, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever even been into Perkins,
really?
To be honest with you. Yeah,
I'm not sure, but I could be like a part-time stockholder.
Are you a part-time stockholder?
Coconut cream pie that's sitting out there for those pies that are in the display case at Perkins,
by the way.
They've
been sitting there for 10 years.
They have.
I mean, at least 10 years. But I'm sure that they, you know, the congealed pie tastes delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, you know, we went on a bunch of fun trips. In fact, one funny thing that happened to us was we drove to St. Louis for a trip, mm-hmm. and we were supposed to play in a tournament there. It may have been St. Louis. It could have been somewhere else. I know we went on a road trip somewhere decently far away, though, hours long drive. Get there, spend the night, you know, pool party, the whole thing. We get up in the morning to go play a game, and it rained all night, and there was a problem with the drainage system at the baseball field, and it was destroyed, and we couldn't play.
Uh-oh.
And the tournament got canceled.
5.5-hour drive.
Only to drive right
Hotel
back.
Stay.
Hotel stay.
At least you got to swim.
I mean, I would have chosen to swim in Deerfield or Highland Park as opposed to swimming at a hotel in Maryland Heights, Missouri. Mm-hmm. But that's what it had to be. You know, that was disappointing, I remember. But you know what, mm-hmm. though? The fun things about these trips is you get to go to fun restaurants. Mm-hmm. You get to do stuff with the team, you know, big togetherness type things. Those were always fun.
What's the best restaurant out there, too? What's the best place to take a youth sports team? A Steak and Shake? Something different than a McDonald's or Burger King. 888-463-6748. Where's your best?
I would say in Deerfield, Deer Frank's was always the hot spot. You ever been to Deer Frank's?
I have not.
Hot dog and a hamburger joint, you know, fun place. Mm-hmm. Every game, we'd always go there after the game. Mm-hmm. It was just a fun place to go after
there
games.
It is. He's Jordan Bernfield. You are not. I'm the coach. It's the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Our producer, David Olson, will take a quick break. Back for our final segment. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for joining us. Back in about 38 seconds.
Let's return to more of the Youth Sports Fan Forum on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cohn.
And we're back. Final segment here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Thanks for joining us. Our fifth show in our brand new program here at the TalkZone.com. Real quick, before I throw out
this
secret...
is my second of five. I'm like a veteran of this program.
It's unbelievable.
Now. I know.
Keep talking like that. We'll keep you around.
I know. You know what? And by the way, I just wanted to comment that bump music we just used coming back had a very mm-hmm. country-type feel to it.
I liked
it. It was good.
I liked it.
I mean, and I'm not a huge country guy necessarily, uh-huh. but it was a nice little look for the youth sports
As the Barbara Mandrell song, a hit song way back in the day, once said, I was country before country was cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've never heard that line until now, but thank you for sharing.
It's not a line. It's a song.
Oh, well, that's a line from a song.
Yeah. I used to be a closet country music fan as a high school kid, and believe me.
I think you're out now.
Back when I was out a long time ago, but back when I was in high school, country music, not cool.
Not country cool. music this, wasn't cool when you were
This
you
was
were
back in the, I was like the post-hippie generation.
Oh, okay. But
Barbara Mandrell came out with a song, I Was Country, when country wasn't cool. Those that were loyal to it, I was one of those, a closet country music fan.
Yeah. Yeah, country to me now, it's either people love country or they hate country.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like nobody is lukewarm on country. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you know, some people are lukewarm on, you know, certain rock groups, certain rap groups, certain, mm-hmm. you know, R&B and all the different types of music. People can be lukewarm on these things. You know, like, I like this rapper, but I don't like this rapper. I like this song, but I don't like this song. I like this group, I don't like this group. When it comes to country, I feel like most people are either, mm-hmm. I can't stand it, or I love country. Kenny Chesney's poster is hanging in my room. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, it's one or the other.
Nothing like talking music here on the U Sports Fan Forum. I would disagree with you a little bit, I think.
You're a lukewarm country guy?
Well, no. I'm not talking about me. I'm trying to speak for the vast public that is out there. That's what I do. Not accurately, but I enjoy speaking for the vast public out there.
You like misrepresenting the public.
Absolutely.
Okay.
On a regular basis. Yeah. I think the last 3, 4, 5 years things have turned, especially with the younger generation. I think there's become a little bit of a gray area, some that are sliding over into country music. I think you were right up until the last couple of years. I think it's changing.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I mean, there's a couple of country songs I like, but most, if you ask me if I'm a country fan, mm-hmm. not a country guy.
You were not country when country wasn't cool.
No.
You had mentioned real quick on the road trips, it brought up to me back in the day when I used to coach travel softball team.
Okay.
And my sense of direction as a young driver was not good. It's much better.
Where'd you end up? Where were you supposed to go?
Some people have a good, you know what I'm saying? Some people have a good sense of direction.
I have a terrible sense of direction.
I was coaching this team at age like, you know, maybe 19 through 26. Okay. And the problem was, and again, there was no email, no MapQuest, right? So the parents would have to follow me.
Oh,
so we'd get in a carpool of like 3 or 4 or 5 cars.
This story is not going to end well.
Huh?
This story is not going to end well.
You know, it was a little embarrassing back at the time. As I look back on it now, it's comical, but I would take a wrong turn and I'd look by and 4 cars are following me. I'd pull out of the street, you know, go back down a mile later and take another wrong turn. Oh, darn it. It's one thing to be lost on your own. It's really embarrassing when you got like 4 minivans
and you're all lost. Yeah.
Oh, the abuse I used to get.
You know, honestly, the one part of technology that has helped me more in my life than probably anything. Yeah.
God bless.
My Garmin GPS thing.
Yep. Your who?
Garmin GPS.
Who's Garmin?
It's the company.
Not familiar with Garmin.
Garmin makes the GPS. It's a little portable one.
You like a GPS snob? You have to have a particular kind?
No, it wasn't built into my car.
I've got the Garmin GPS.
It wasn't built into my car. You know, I don't have it in my car.
Okay.
So the nav system that I have, I had to buy.
I don't like it, but okay.
Well, I mean, many people do. I mean, truckers do it. You know, a lot of people, they're like...
Telling you, I find it kind of snobbish, but go ahead.
Okay, well, I mean, it's a normal brand, I guess. But, you know, I had to take mine in because it wasn't charging. And it's currently at the electronics store.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a call last night, and they said it would cost me $100 to get it fixed. And $139 to just get a new one.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, well, then I want a new one, but I need it tomorrow because I have to drive to Kalamazoo, Michigan on Sunday with the UIC women's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think I'm going to get there without that Garmin GPS, you are insane.
Yeah.
If I started driving without that thing, I would probably end up in the upper parts of Quebec by the time I finish the drive.
I don't have a Garmin GPS, but I will tell you what I got in my car 5, 6 years ago.
You have the Jeep version or whatever?
Whatever. Yeah. Mine doesn't have a brand name. It's just the nav system.
No. See, you'd think that's snobby. It's not.
Yes.
What's snobby? You want snobby? Here, I'll give you snobby. Snobby are the people that get it built into their car. The peasants
who can't afford to
have that in their car have to succumb to buying the Garmin GPS.
Okay.
Mr. Coach.
Nicely played. Good rebound. Way to attack. Hack the net and go for a slam on me.
Listen, I just buried it like Dustin Byfuglien last night.
All I can say is when I got it, I made fun of the thing. 5, 6 years ago, they were just kind of brand new. I'm like, what do I need this thing for? And so I thought, no need for it. Very much like the seat warmer we were talking about in a previous show.
Which I will say again, the logo on the butt warmer needs to be a little picture of butt so that you know what it's for.
No question about it. But I, like you, have become deeply attached to the navigation system. Anyhow, I want to throw this out real quick. U Sports Fan Forum. Still time to take a couple of calls if you want to check in. Your questions, thoughts, advice, funny stories, sad stories, anything related to the games that your kids play. 888-463-6748. And our email is ysfanforum.com. Are you ready for what I have found? The greatest, motivational tool to make your team play hard and win a game.
I have to be honest, when you told me this was going to be a tease, yeah. I've been thinking only about that for the
last
15
bet.
Minutes.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Put those two magazines away, will you? Now, it has to be in a tournament situation.
Okay.
Where if you lose a game.
So now there's already a discrepancy.
Yeah, and I alluded to that a little bit earlier. This is a little more true at the high level. But if there's any situation where if you play a game and if you lose, the next day you got to come back at 7:30 in the morning, 8 or 8:30. And if you win, you get to play later in the day. I have found you can give all the pep talks you want. If you tell the kids, hey, guys, if we win this game, we can sleep in tomorrow. We don't have to play until 10:30 or 11 o'clock. If we lose, we got to get up at 6:30 or 7 and be there for an 8 o'clock game. I'm telling you, Jordan, all joking aside, that has been the best motivational tool you can get for a team to play hard and try to win.
Oh, I agree, because my least productive hours are between 6:30 and 8 o'clock in the morning.
Nobody wants to play a game at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I'm useless.
Yeah.
I mean, in high school, we used to have these morning baseball practices, and our coaches idiotically thought it would be a good idea to have us there at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, toughness. Show some dedication, some toughness. Hey, coach, kids need sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. Forget about discipline and toughness. Swimming coaches, any swimming coaches out there, forget about the 6 o'clock in the morning practice. Bad. Kids are doing homework, lack of sleep. Don't like the idea.
I mean, I used to get up and go to these practices, and it was like 5:25.
Yeah.
And I can't even see, okay? Yeah. I'm not even, like, conscious.
Yeah.
And then people are throwing baseballs at me. And it was honestly like a near-death experience. It was like, how am I going to catch a baseball, hit a baseball, throw a baseball, run?
Yep.
At that hour in the morning, I was like, are you kidding me?
And the coaches think that they're, you know, our program's taking that next step.
No, they're taking a step towards stupidity. Yeah. That's what they're taking a step towards.
I would agree with that. I would agree.
It's ridiculous.
And maybe there's people, parents out there, you've had your kids go through those programs, swimming, early morning football practices, what it might be. You feel free to differ, and maybe it's been beneficial to your kid. I don't see it. I don't see it. 888-463-6748.
It just, to me, it's such a brutal just experience, because you're right, kids need sleep. They need time to wake up and to focus. Adults need time to wake up and focus. I need time to wake up and focus right now, okay? When I get up really early to do something, I'm much less productive than when I have rested and I can get up and I can do work.
If it takes skipping a math class, a science class, God forbid, a health class or a PE class and have the practice, then so be it. I could live with missing math once a week. I could live with a biology class less once a week. More physical education and less mental education. I say that only half facetiously, by the way. Many schools, and we can get into this maybe in next week's show, there's many, many schools that have PE once a week. They consider PE like an extra. No.
I had it every
day. Your physical
fitness
is every bit as important as your mental fitness.
Yeah, I had it every day. And then not only
doesn't
did I
show,
have it every
by
day.
The way.
Well, clearly not. I've let myself go since my high school days. I got to waver out when I was in varsity baseball in high school, but I think that there should be more emphasis on physical fitness when you see how fast some of these kids are.
You know what? We're going to mark that down. That'll be a topic we hit next week. We want to thank everybody for listening out there. Jordan Birdfield, want to thank you for sticking around for hour number two and contributing, my friend.
Thank you for having me. And I'm very excited to be part of the Youth Sports Fan Forum.
Beautiful. We are excited to have you. David Olson, our producer, tremendous job. We'll do it again next Thursday at 11 o'clock. Don't forget, two guys and a mic. It's our regular sports show, 10 o'clock Central, every weekday. They let us ramble on for an hour. It's hard to believe. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow and or next week.